Good morning. This is the Blessings of Liberty. Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." My name is Wynn Greer. I'm the pastor of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church over in Vilas, North Carolina. My son, Noah, he is producing this morning. He's on the other side of the microphone over there, turning the dials. That's what they talk about in radio land, I guess what they call it, twisting the dials, turning the dials. But actually, if you've seen what I've seen, they're more, the dials go straight up and down. So anyway, Noah, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good today.
Good. I appreciate you doing this. And I want to welcome all of our listeners, especially on AM 1450 WATA, which is located in beautiful Boone, North Carolina. And it is a pretty day today. And we have been looking for days like this. I seen a robin last week, and my grandpa always said when you see the robins come back, that spring is just around the corner. So thank the Lord for that. We've had a very cold, wintry winter this year, and I'm glad to see the temperatures moving up just a little bit, and thank the Lord for that. I said at church last Sunday that I thought the Lord gave the four seasons. And one of the reasons he gave winter was so that we'd look forward to and be thankful for when spring gets here. And so we're looking very forward to that. And also today, as we're getting started, I want to say a very special welcome to our new listeners on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. We certainly appreciate Brother Al and Brother Glenn over there and the fine work they do and the good programming there on WZAP. Now, if you are a new listener, and as I said, WZAP has picked up this radio broadcast as well, and so I want to make a special welcome to our new listeners and maybe give just a little preview or a little summary of what we're all about. Of course, the name of the broadcast is The Blessings of Liberty, and God put this burden on my heart a little over 2 years ago to start a radio broadcast with a emphasis upon what the Bible has to say about civil government in America, where we come from, how we got here. I guess it was early summer of 2009, and we had the first Blessings of Liberty on July the 4th, 2009. And the phrase Blessings of Liberty is from a line in the preamble to the Constitution where it talks about we the people. And, you know, I should memorize that. No, I don't guess you've got it memorized, do you?
I don't.
No. But it says we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That word posterity means our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. They intended for this nation to go on for generations. So to promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And I have noticed down through the years in pastoring and talking to people in the community and at work and different places, most Americans today, they don't even know where we come from, what we're doing here, how we got here. I mean, people know about unimportant things, what I would consider mostly unimportant things. They know about sports. They know about baseball and football and golf and NASCAR and all these facts and figures and statistics, and they know about Lindsay Lohan and unimportant things like her personal life and getting arrested and being in court. And I noticed on the news last week what she was wearing to court and all this bunch of stuff, and I thought to myself, I'm talking on the main news broadcast. And that's what they were covering. And I thought, you know, the world is burning down all round about us. There's civil unrest in Egypt and Tunisia and Iran and all of these places. And here in America, the big news is about some spoiled brat teenager and her problems. And I'm sorry for her problems. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying in the main news, it's amazing to me what is covered in America. And people know about Oprah Winfrey and all of these things, but very few know about important things, important people in our nation's history, such as George Whitefield and Shubal Stern, some of the greatest preachers that have ever set foot upon the shores of America, and the great influence that they had and still have today in our society and in our civil government. Cotton Mather, the leader of the early pilgrims come to this country, Patrick Henry, the Federalist Papers, Thomas Paine's Common Sense, the Declaration of Independence, and where the foundation of that comes from, and the United States Constitution. I've said this many times before. If you take a timeline, starting with the pilgrims and come all the way through 2011 today, if you take a timeline of American history and you put your finger down anywhere on that timeline, you won't have to dig very far to find the influence and leadership of biblical Christianity in our country. Biblical Bible foundations, Bible principles, the influence that God's Word and God's people has had in our country down through the years. I was reading this morning, and the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We need to know where we come from, who we come from, how we got here, why we got here, why things are the way they are in America, why America is such a great nation. There's a reason today why our nation has been a great nation. And I say that in past tense because we are, and you need to pay attention to this word when you hear it. I've heard it in the news. I've read it several different places lately. This word, tipping point. We are at a tipping point in our nation, and it's not tipping in the right direction. But we are a great nation. We're still a great nation. I thank God for our country. I don't want to live anywhere else. But we're honest today when I say that the America that we live in today is not the nation of our forefathers. It is not the nation that our forefathers envisioned and laid out in the beginning. They laid out a very simple recipe for success: limited government, maximum freedom. But today, and for the past several years, even decades, we can say, even more than a generation now, our nation is under siege from within. I used to think when I was growing up that the great enemy, we were always told the great enemy is communism. It's from without. It's in Russia. It is in Cuba. It's in communist China, red China, the communists. And many that grew up in church, you heard that preached about, that when you'd better memorize your Bible, because when the communists come, they'll take it away. Well, we've been under attack, but it hasn't been a physical attack, which has resulted in a physical war. It's been way more subtle than that. The attack is from within our own ranks. Both the extreme left and the extreme right. I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans. We're under attack. Socialists in our government, globalists, secular humanists, communists. So instead of a limited government with maximum freedom, what we have in America today is more of a limited freedom, maximum government. I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago, and we were talking about freedom in this country and what we could do. And he said, "Is there anything that we're really, really free to do?" And he began to talk about, you have to have permission to drive up and down the road. You have to have permission to get married. You have to have permission to have a gun. You have to have permission to build a deck on your house. You have to get permits. And there's laws that literally touch every aspect of our lives. We live in a day and a time in America totally opposite from what our founders envisioned there is now in America limited freedom, maximum government. But here on the Blessings of Liberty, we've been looking at the founding principles which made this nation great. And I've been I've come across a little book maybe a year and a half ago called The 5,000-Year Leap. And I've been there's an outline in there. There's 28 great principles that changed the world in that book. And I've been taking that outline of those 28 principles, and we've been taking them one by one. And I've been looking at a scriptural principle that backs it up, because let me tell you, if the Word of God doesn't support it, it's not worth anything. But all these principles, we'll find that there is a scriptural principle, first of all. And so we take a scriptural principle. And then after that, we take a historical example. We go back to history and say, this is the Word of God in action in our country in the past. And then we try to take a present day application and try to take and apply these truths and how it applies to us today. We're well over 200 years removed from the founding of this great nation. So we've been looking at these different principles. And I was telling Noah on the way over here that what we were going to do today, I'm going to give just a little summary of the first three principles, because we've only looked at three so far. We started this at the new year this year, and we've only looked at three so far. And the first principle that we looked at was the founders' belief in what they referred to as natural law. The more you study into that, the founders' belief in natural law. Now, if I mention that, you may scratch your head and say, what is he talking about? Natural law, nature's law. What the founders were talking about when they talked about natural law, they were talking about God's universal law, God's moral law. Law in the universe, and how that applies to it's a universal law, which means it applies in America, it applies in Asia, Africa, China, Australia. It doesn't matter where you go, you will find God's universal law. It is contained in the Ten Commandments. There is obligations man to man, and there's obligations of man towards God. But you find that in a functioning free society, you will find nature's law there, and you'll find God's law. That's what the founders were referring to. Now, we find that referred to in the Declaration of Independence. I have the first phrase here in my notes. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. And they go on and they talk about that the pursuit of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. They found this in nature's law. And that's the first principle that we looked at. Our founders in this country, I realize not all of them were Christians, but all of them were great students of history, and they were students of the Bible. And in the Bible, they found nature's law, God's law. The second principle that we looked at was this: a people will not remain free under a republican form of government unless they remain virtuous and morally strong. And that is the type of government that we have. We have a republican form of government. Now, that doesn't mean government by the Republicans. The Republican Democrat, that's not what I'm talking about today. A republican form of government is this: our government is based upon the law of the Constitution. The Constitution is the law of the land. That is our form of government. We do not have a democracy in the aspect of democracy just means majority rules. That's what's going on in Egypt. That's why Mubarak had to step down. They're talking about democracy over there like it's a good thing, and it is a good thing if it's based upon a republican form of government. But republican is just a rule of law. But a people cannot remain free under this form of government unless they're virtuous and moral, because a Republican form of law is based upon the unwritten law of doing the right thing. Always going to do the right thing. If people do not do the right thing, if they do not do what's right in their business, in their family, in their work, then there is a need for more and more laws to regulate each and every little aspect of our lives. And so we need a virtuous people. The word virtue means moral goodness. We need a morally strong people if we're going to survive as a republic. And along these same lines, we looked at this last week, the greatest way to secure a virtuous and moral people is to elect virtuous leaders. We must elect virtuous leaders in our country. And we may think today that our generation is the first one to be infected with widespread corruption among politicians, but evidently we've been under this curse of corrupt politicians for several generations now. Benjamin Franklin said, if we ever made this post of honor, talking about public service, if we ever made this post of honor a place of profit, that it would attract the very lowest of society. And for generations now, the post of honor of public service has become a place of profit, and we have suffered because of that. And the reason I say that it's been this way for generations is because Mark Twain, who's been dead for years and years and years now, he said this about Congress. He said it could probably be shown by facts and figures that there is no distinctly native criminal class except Congress, that we have made a homegrown criminal class in America. And Mark Twain said that. Will Rogers, who some of you may remember him being on TV, you know, he had shows and made these cowboy movies and things. Of course, he's been dead for years, too. Will Rogers said Congress is the best that money can buy. So evidently, for generations now, there's been a problem of corruption in politics. But sadly today, the elected are just a reflection of the electors. Those who have been elected are just a mirror of those who elect them, because we elect people who are most closely like we are. And they had this problem even in the Bible. I was studying over in Jeremiah chapter number 5. And it says over there, now Jeremiah prophesied to the children of Israel, and they were at a point of being morally decadent. They were a point where they had left the old paths of the Word of God. They were at a point of denying God's Word and His influence in their lives, just like we are in America today. And Jeremiah said about them in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, he said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. That word means there means their power. They influenced, used power among the people, used their power among the people. They bear rule by their means. And it said, and my people love to have it so. They enjoyed being oppressed by false prophets and by power-hungry priests. My people love to have it so. And then it said, and what will you do in the end thereof? Boy, they were in a mess. And I say today in America, we've got many, many problems which seriously need to be addressed. But the fourth thing I want to share with you today, the fourth principle, and I'll just barely get into this, but I think some of this goes without saying. Anybody that is an honest student of history will realize that this is true, what I'm getting ready to share with you, and that is this. Our founders believe that without true religion, not just any religion, but true religion, and they believed in Bible Christianity. They believe that the Bible, the Holy Bible, is God's Word. We're not talking about any religion, but true religion. They believe that without true religion, the government of a free people would not be maintained. They recognized the importance of God in their affairs. This is why the Declaration of Independence, even the Constitution, refers to the divine, the Almighty, the Creator. They were talking about the God of the Bible. There's a lot of pressure today in our nation to remove, to erase all things Christian from the public record. But that is not what our founders intended. It is one of the most hypocritical and, what's the word I'm trying to think of this morning, hypocritical and aggravating things to see what is going on in our society today when the ACLU, when the government, when the Supreme Court comes out against Christianity, comes out and, for example, and I talked about this on the radio broadcast several times down in King, North Carolina last year when somebody came out and complained that the Veterans War Memorial, there was a Christian flag there. They threatened to sue the county there, sue the city, because they were flying a Christian flag. Well, this is our heritage. If you go to where Congress meets up in Washington, D.C., if you go to where the Supreme Court meets, you're going to see references to Moses, to the Ten Commandments, to the Bible, just about everywhere you go in Washington, D.C. Our founders did not intend for our society to be operated without any reference to God or the Bible or the Ten Commandments. A lot of people think that the so-called separation of church and state is part of the United States Constitution. I've even heard preachers refer to that. That is, I hope, just out of ignorance, but that is not the facts. The phrase separation of church and state, the original phrase is in no official government documents whatsoever. The original phrase, the separation of church and state, is in a private letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Association. He wrote to them assuring them that it was his intention to include in the Bill of Rights the freedom of religion. And of course, that is the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Thomas Jefferson promised to be a champion of freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. But what we have in government today, they want all the blessings. They want all the benefits. They want to say at the end of their empty speeches, and God bless America. But they really don't want God to have anything to do with what they're doing, which we see in their actions and in their policies and all of these things. But Thomas Jefferson was writing to a group of Baptists, promising them that he was going to be a champion for freedom of religion, that they, meaning the Baptists, would no longer be persecuted, because once upon a time in America, the different denominations, they persecuted the others. I believe there were 7 states that had a official state religion. Virginia was that way. Massachusetts was that way. It was different than it is now. So in the Bill of Rights, they included the First Amendment, which is freedom, that there would be freedom of religion. The First Amendment says this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So he wasn't promoting freedom from religion, but freedom of religion. This is from a man talking about Thomas Jefferson, who at that very time that he wrote that letter, he was attending church in Washington at the State House. They were having church at the State House. That was a building paid for by taxpayers. He was listening to hymns sang by the Army Choir, who were, again, a group of individuals paid for by taxpayers, who sang from hymn books paid for by the taxpayer. They seen they needed some hymn books to sing out of, and Congress authorized to purchase some hymn books. So if Thomas Jefferson would have been against God being in and influencing the government, he certainly wouldn't have been going to church in the State House at that time. Benjamin Franklin stood at the Constitutional Convention and made a proposal when they were fighting and bickering. They'd been up there trying to come up with a constitution. And the American Revolutionary War was already over at this time. The Declaration of Independence had already been signed. And they were trying to get a better constitution. What they tried, first of all, the Articles of Confederation, it just wasn't working. So they came back together. They tried to come up with a new constitution. And they weren't getting anywhere. They were fighting, bickering. They weren't making any headway. They'd been there all summer. A lot of them had paid their own way. It was costing them, you know, they just weren't getting anywhere. And Benjamin Franklin finally stood up during the midst of all that, and he said, when the war was going on, we met in this same building, and we had prayer every morning, and we sought that the God of heaven would bless our endeavors. And he said, I recommend that we get a minister to come and lead in prayer and Bible reading every morning. And they began to do that from that time on. And then they began to make headway and gave us what we know today as the United States Constitution and our Republican form of government. And when Benjamin Franklin stood up and recommended that they get a minister, a preacher to come in, read the Bible, and pray, he also made reference to Psalms 127 in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." He stood and read those scriptures. And again, in summarizing today, that fourth great principle is that for a people to remain free, they must have God in our society and influencing in our lives. I want to share just one quick quote. There is a man, Alex de Tocqueville. I hope I'm saying his name right. But I'm sure a lot of people have heard this reference to. But what he was talking about, let's see. He came to America and he said, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers. And it was not there in her fertile fields and boundless prairies. And it was not there in her rich mines and her vast world commerce. And it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." And that is something that I've heard mentioned in churches many, many times about Mr. Tocqueville coming to America. And it's worth commenting again today. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We certainly do appreciate everyone that listens in. And we would encourage you also to tell somebody else about the radio broadcast, where you heard it and when you heard it. We appreciate all that listen in and also your correspondence. So I'm going to wind it up for today. Say I've got another minute. About 15 seconds over there. I thought my time had already ran, but I appreciate Noah running the board over there, and we appreciate each and every one that listens in and want to encourage you to listen in next time at this same time.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can at 828-963-4596. That's the church phone number. It's 828-963-4596. Or you can contact us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That is MTLEBANONBC.org.